in this studio weekly on Wednesdays from 12 to 1.
But we have a good time, though.
Yeah, we do.
We have a good time.
And we're sure glad you joined us today. We are continuing our discussion from last week. We are discussing family matters, and specifically we're discussing things relating to communication. And the reason we started with that particular issue was because that is listed as the number one problem or the reason for divorce. And different ones that say that sort of thing. So we're going to...
Boy, you're like popular.
I'm telling
you. Phones ringing everywhere.
We forgot to put it on silent.
It might be dangerous for him to have his phone turned off, given all he's got to do. But.
Yeah. At any rate, we are talking about communication, and we want to continue that theme today. So give us a call. 994-3747 with an 850 area code, or you can reach us at issuesofliferadio.com. That comes right here to my computer, and so if you have a comment you'd like to make or like us to read over the air, you send it, and we'll be glad to include you in on what we've got going today. But communications in marriage, Paul. Tell us a little bit about that.
I've been married. I've only been married a little while, but both of y'all have been married longer than I've been married. But it's odd that you would that we would be continuing this, because I'm studying this actually for Sunday school, and I guess one of the a lot of people, it depends on personalities, and some people are intense, and some people seek out confrontation a lot of times, and some people are laid back and try to avoid confrontation. So it really depends on, and if you have, particularly if you have two vastly different personalities in a household, if you have one that's more aggressive and one that's more laid back, you're certainly going to have to find some way to communicate productively, and that may take some time. But one verse that helped me in my marriage, I guess the biggest verse, there's all kinds of verses we could look at and probably will today. You got Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 7 talks about marriage specifically. But one verse that helped me in my marriage, we read Proverbs a lot at our house, and I guess the biggest thing that helped me was two verses. One is Proverbs 15:1. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger."
That last part works 100% of the time.
Yes.
I don't know about the first part too much, but that last part works 100% of the time.
What about the first part? well, we could all implement the first part a little more often, I think.
Most definitely, yeah.
And another verse, and I don't know the reference to this one. I can get on my phone and look it up. But it says, a man that troubleth his own house reaps the whirlwind. Biblically speaking, a man has to lead his home. And I don't mean push your wife around either.
No.
I mean you got to lead your home by
example. The other part of Ephesians makes that clear.
Sure.
A man who mistreats his wife and lords it over her, it doesn't understand the first part.
Sure. But on the other hand, while it's true you need to lead your home, if you just go around making trouble and fighting battles where there don't need to be one, there doesn't.
Yeah.
It clearly says a man who troubles his house is going to reap the whirlwind.
Yeah.
So there has to be a balance. There's got to be. And, of course, the biggest thing that I've seen in my puny little 8 years compared, you've been married, what, 22 or 23 years?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But just in my, I've been married almost 7.5 years, and there does need to be communication. But really, it's my responsibility to defuse situations. I'm not a defuser. I don't. That's not something I'm known for being. So it's kind of unusual to try to step into that role and make it better, as opposed to, blowing it up with a stick of dynamite. That's kind of.
Sometimes the only way you can defuse a situation is to walk out the door. Last time that happened to me, I walked out the door and then my wife left too. She went shopping.
Yeah, she said, "I'm gonna spend your money."
Shopping cures a lot of ills, I guess.
Maybe so. Yeah.
But it's my job to lead my home by example. You know, so I'm to exemplify compassion. I'm to exemplify leadership.
I wish you quit talking about all those things. I just
I know it's like we got to do all that, man. I just want to watch TV.
Yeah, doesn't she have some responsibility?
and you know, my wife, as a joke, she pointed out to me the other day. She said, "There's a verse that says husbands shouldn't be bitter against their wives."
Yeah.
And she says that's specifically for the husband.
Wow.
Well, what is it? How does that verse go? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand that. Sure.
But they're not given that same. I mean, I'm sure they shouldn't be bitter based on other verses. But they're not given that same instruction in that. You know, in verse.
That context. Sure. I can understand that. You know, they because you. If you allow anybody that allows things to fester under the surface, it ultimately turns to bitterness. And what is it? How does it go in Hebrews 12 about bitterness there?
Well, it's described as a root.
It's the root of bitterness. But and it's talking about how does that go? And it's not that's not talking about marriage specifically. But
no,
any time you let something fester into bitterness, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, bitterness, not being bitter. If you look at Hebrews 12 But not being bitter is connected directly to holiness.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be difficult for you to be holy and be bitter at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to look it up here, but my phone's doing something weird.
Yeah. well, you know, here's the thing, and I have the like you said, I've been married for over 20 years, and we've had some stormy times in our marriage. You know, my wife and I are both, as I said last week, we're both. Aggressive people. We're not passive. Neither one of us are passive. Usually, you know, you have a passive party and an aggressive party. Well, that's not the case with us. We're both aggressive people. And some men are intimidated by an aggressive woman, you know. I guess I can understand that. I know some men who have aggressive or maybe aggressive is not the right word to use, but who have wives that are motivated, who are diligent about life, who are intelligent, who, you know, and all of these characteristics describe my wife, and she's that way. But I know men who have a woman like that, and they just give up. You know, they just let them run the show. Well, that's not you can't do that. That never, ever works. A man is going to be held responsible for his home. I have the leadership in my home. I'm responsible for that leadership. And it didn't say that it would be easy. There's nowhere that says it would be easy. You know. So, and a lot of times my wife and I communicate, as I said last week, at a very high decibels, you know.
I just can't believe that.
The decibels,
I'm like, where'd you get
the
all
decibels
this?
Get on the elevated. Now, we're not so much anymore as we used to, because I guess it's because we don't have the energy. But the thing I like about that is, even though we may get loud with each other from time to time, when it's over, it's over. You know, it's not nothing festers. We communicate. We work out the situation. And nothing festers. And I don't know how I wouldn't be able to survive with somebody that held a grudge and kept that bringing that up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a death knell to a marriage. Somebody that holds a grudge and then lets it surface when you get in a disagreement. We never carry things over from one argument to the next.
You can't.
No.
And hopefully you're not you've learned some things from year one to year 23 or 43 or whatever.
No,
it is.
Of course,
99.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've been married 7.5 years, and I used to fight battles in year one that I just don't fight anymore.
Yeah,
and it's not a question of laziness on my part. It's not productive. It's not that big a deal. You know,
what's it going to solve?
Well, I guess it's taken me a little longer to learn those. I'm kind of hard headed, so
see?
There's some. I have just recently decided that these battles, some battles, are just not worth fooling with anymore. I diffuse them. I when I start to say what I want to say, I will stop myself and say, "Now, is this worth it?"
my dad told me when he found out I was getting married, he was the only one that wasn't surprised when I told him I was marrying Renita. He wasn't the least bit surprised. He said, "Now, son," he said, "when you're wrong, when you know you're wrong, you need to apologize immediately." He said, "Because there's going to be times when you're not wrong and you can't apologize, But if you apologize when you are wrong, then she can't say you're one of those men who right. never admits he's wrong.
Right. Never. That's right.
So when you're wrong and you know you're wrong, you apologize immediately.
Yeah.
And say I should have. He said, now as I'm telling you this, I didn't always do that, but he said that way. He said because once you get a reputation for being somebody who never admits he's wrong,
right. mm-hmm.
it's going to be difficult.
It's hard to overcome that. Yeah. See,
it's going to be difficult.
Well, and most men who are like that don't ever overcome it because they don't want to. Yeah. And I think a lot of them don't think they are ever wrong. You know.
And also, this is in all areas of life, but you have to know. You have to know what your weaknesses are so you can work on them. I mean,
absolutely.
And one of my goals, and of course, I was raised around people who would point out my weaknesses. You know, but I don't want to have any weaknesses that I don't know about.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm not sure if that's practical, but
well, I mean, that's what
totally.
I strive.
Yeah, that, sure. That, you know, that should be a goal. Absolutely.
The psalmist said, "Search my heart and see
yes,
what's in there." And,
of course.
You know, so I don't want to have any. I don't want to have any recurring. Besetting sins or weaknesses right. that I'm not aware of.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I've said numerous times regarding our default. You know, when you get into situations, and we're talking about marriage today, and it particularly applies to marriage and communication. When you get into situations that you don't know what to do, you will result to your default, and your default is what you heard and saw. Mm-hmm. In the home you grew up in. That is your default. That's what programmed you for marriage is whatever kind of a home you grew up in. When you don't know what to do, that's where you're going to go. You're going to do what you saw your dad do. You're going to do what you saw your mother do, observed in the home, and even unconsciously. Mm-hmm. That's stuck in your subconscious, and so if you grew up in a home where both parents yelled and screamed at one another, all the time, or you know, I had a friend when I was growing up that his mother was a fiery redhead, and when I say fiery redhead, now they were from up north somewhere, but this gal, when I would go to his house, I would knock on a door and duck on the side of the door in case anything came flying my way.
Duck and cover.
I mean, she was wild. I hated to live with that woman. I'm telling you, she threw things on a regular basis. So, but again, a person being brought up in that kind of a home, well, that's all they know. And so, if you're not satisfied with your default. Or it could be that you became dissatisfied with your default that you were brought up with, and you've made some changes, conscious changes to the way you, in other words, you've reprogrammed your default.
The default can be overridden, but it takes a lot of self-awareness. It takes a lot of discipline, and you might be in a situation where you might have one home where the mother was very submissive and the mother uplifted the father and made sure he had what he needed. And you might have another another person who was in a home where the father was basically a nuisance, which is a lot of the homes these days.
Yeah,
you know, like the guy, the dad's just kind of a bonehead and doesn't really do. He's kind of earned that reputation.
Yeah,
and the mom's pretty much.
And you have plenty of public support to go along with that.
Yeah, and so when you get married, you're gonna do like you said. You're gonna do what you saw your parents do. My parents were married for 28 years, and we never heard them argue. Now I'm not saying they didn't argue. I'm saying we didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So you know, so I know it can be done. I mean, a lot of times they would go out on the porch, or they would once we got older, they'd take a ride and go out and get a drink and discuss what they needed to discuss. You know, I'd go get a Coke or something. So, but I know it can be done. But you're going to resort to your default unless you're very self-aware for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Join in on our conversation at area code 850-994-3747, or you can just go to issuesofliferadio.com.
And we are back on the Issues of Life Radio show discussing marriage, particularly in the aspect of, or discussing communication, particularly in the aspect of marriage. Give us a call if you'd like, 994-3747. Or you can reach us at issuesofliferadio.com.
That's right. And if you're an older couple and you've been together for 50, 40-something years, call.
Absolutely.
Because we could all use the advice and stuff that you've learned over your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you've been married for more than 20 years, you know, we'd like to hear from you. And you have a good marriage, particularly. Or maybe you don't have a good marriage and you'd like to share some of the problem issues that you face. And
maybe we could help.
You know, with the Word of God has the answer to all of it, that's for sure. So give us a call. Once again, 994-3747 or issuesofliferadio.com. Paul, you were talking about before we went to the break about some practical matters regarding husbands and wives. You mentioned while we were on break about the Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, how would you apply that to communications and some of the things it says there in Ephesians 5 about communications?
Well, again, I'm working on a lesson for the Sunday school class, and just by way of information, I'm certainly not an authority on marriage, but you know, the comparison is made there in Ephesians 5 so often. So practically speaking, you know, we shouldn't do anything to our wives or say anything to our wives or treat our wives in any way that Jesus would not do to the church. I mean, you know, Jesus wouldn't. Of course, Jesus didn't say hateful things anyway.
Correct.
But so, you know, so if I'm supposed to treat my wife the way Christ treats the church, then I don't need to be yelling and screaming at my wife and saying hateful things, because Christ certainly wouldn't do that.
Correct.
So if he's our example and if that's our model, then and like you said on the break, because look, we're going to argue. It's just, I mean, we're sinful people. We're selfish at times.
Sure.
Some of us battle with that more than others. But so we're going to argue. That's just there's no. But you know, it can be as practical. What you said is this can be as practical as we want to make it.
Yeah, and that's really the bottom line. Christ certainly is our example, and we want to. And really, if you stop and think about it, he was selfless. He emptied himself. You know, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 8, I believe it's verse 9, says that. He who was rich became poor, that we might be made rich. So his whole focus was upon the betterment, the salvation, but the betterment of everybody.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, the less we think about self and the more we think about others, when I say less we think about self, you know, we are naturally selfish people. So it takes an act, a decisive act, to not be selfish.
Sure.
So if we put ourselves in our proper place and think about others first, the Lord first, others second, and ourselves last. You know, if we work that program, then it helps with any kind of interaction.
And again, and I want to say this, and then I want to ask you some questions about another portion of Scripture. But again, I mean, personalities come into play. I'm not. I'm not a naturally nice person. I have to remember to be nice.
I'll just leave that one alone.
Well, I'm not.
No, that's true. I mean, I'm Paul and I have similar personalities in that area. We're not noted for being the most likable people in the world.
Yeah, some people are naturally affable. They're naturally approachable. I'm not. And the older I get, it gets worse. You know, but I mean, I've got three small children. I've got a 6-year-old. I've got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, or he'll be 4 on the 18th of this month. I've got a 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 5-month-old little girl. Two boys and a little girl. But I'm not a naturally easygoing. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, you know, just whenever you feel like it. I'm not. That's not me. So I have to remember to be accommodating, and I have to remember to be nice. So, and when two people get together, there's going to be personality aspects involved.
Exactly, correct.
But we can use the Scripture as a model, and if the model is what Christ did in his attitude toward his church that he loved and gave himself for,
yes.
Ephesians 5:25, then I certainly shouldn't be saying. I mean, there's certain things. A lady told me one time, she'd been married a while. And she said, "There's power and strength in being able to say that you've never done something."
Correct.
You know, because once you do it once, you can't say ever again that you've never done it.
Correct.
And there's some things that I've never said to my wife.
Right.
There's some words that I've just never used.
Right. Well, and the same with me. You know, my wife told me early on that that there were some things, and I'm not going to go into detail, but there were some things that she was told all of her life growing up that adversely affected her, you know, her attitude, and it made her think in a certain way, and some of my actions caused her to think that I felt the same way. Well, and there's one particular word that I have never used in regards to her, and never will, Lord being my helper, you know, because of its adverse effect on her, see. And so I think that goes along with part of what, you know, when Christ said, you won't do anything harmful. You know, it doesn't mean that we, that, and I don't think it that means that we won't ever disagree or anything like that, but you're not going to do anything intentionally to hurt that other party, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have, but listen, if I can control myself when there's people around,
absolutely.
If I can control myself.
That's a good point.
If you and Miss Becky come in our home and have dinner.
Right.
There's certain things I'm not going to do and not going to say, even if I'm angry or even and if I can control myself when there's people around, then I can control myself when there's not people
exactly.
around.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
If I want to.
And that, I see you laughing over there. That's why my wife and I are noted for, you know, whatever we do at home, we do outside as well. And that's it. In our communication, you know, we in fact they. Something came up just last night with other family members, you know, about we're known for what we do. We don't hide things, you know. And that's just the way we live. We don't hide things. If we don't agree, we disagree in public just like we do at home. So but people who know us.
But there's limits to what you're going to say even when you disagree.
The thing of it is, we don't do it much worse at home. You know, I won't say we don't do it at more intense levels, but my point simply is that our disagreements are, she has the freedom to disagree with me.
Sure.
See, some women don't feel they have the freedom to disagree with their husbands because their husband is trying to be some macho man, an overlord, and thinks that any disagreement is against him. Well, that's not the case. She has the freedom to disagree, and she uses it. You know? But when I'll say this, and she would agree to it if she were sitting here, if she were on the air with us, she would say the same thing. When I make a decision, a final decision, and I say this is it, she never says a different word. She never says any more about it.
My wife asked me one time, because she said, what's my recourse when you make a final decision? What recourse do I have? And I said, your recourse is to get in your prayer closet and ask the Lord to change my mind. And if you really feel that I'm wrong and you're trying to do what's best for the home and you really feel that I'm on the wrong track, which I have been before, and one time it was very serious.
Yeah.
One time it was very, very serious, you know, early on in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, your recourse is to get in your prayer closet and ask the Lord to change my mind, and that's what he did, by the way.
Yeah.
And see, if more women would do that as opposed to, I hate to use this word, but as opposed to nagging, you
right.
know, if more women would get in their prayer closet, and if more women were their husband's prayer cheerleader.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
But also, I mean, like I said, if you can control yourself in front of people, you can control yourself at home, because what men have a tendency to do is you know, we'll say something really hurtful.
Yes.
And then later on, whenever the adrenaline has calmed down, we'll say, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah.
And we want it to be over.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I said I was sorry.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, a comment can be so bad or so rough that there's residue left over.
Sure.
You know, and just saying I'm sorry and wanting to go back to normal isn't necessarily going to be that quick of a fix.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes there needs to be salve.
Sure.
Put on a wound and that type of thing, and again, the in communications and what we're talking about today, the word that comes to mind that keeps open lines of communication and keeps communication on the proper level is forgiveness.
Sure.
There's got to be forgiveness on both sides of an issue, and again, and I hate to keep using my wife and I's relationship as a example, but
it's what you
that's
want.
That's the
strong point that we have is forgiveness, because we're both, she's much more so than myself. She's very forgiving, you know. When it's done, it's done. She kind of amazes me sometimes, because I know women who are, they'll carry that thing to a hill, and men too, but, you know, you got people who'll carry that if they got they get something against you, they'll use it as a leverage. They'll use it as a knife to get you whenever they can. She, I believe I can say this truthfully. I don't know. I don't think she's ever done that in all the years of our marriage.
And they use phrases like, "Well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget." And yeah. I don't know if that's a biblical phrase or not. But
I will say absolutely it's not. And I think we're about to go to a break, are we not? And when we come back off this break, we will. I'll bring that up. To forgive is to forget, and I'm gonna explain that. Thing goes out of your mind, but I'll explain that, because I hear that a lot. And if it's, let me just say it this way before we go to break. If your emotions are stirred up every time you think about that thing you haven't forgiven, if your emotions are just grinding whenever you think about a particular incident that was against you, you hadn't forgiven.
And the Bible does say, let not the sun go down on your anger.
That's right, or your wrath.
On your wrath. And whenever we come back, I want to discuss some X factors that can also be a communication problem.
Absolutely.
And we are back on the Issues of Life radio program. I've already said keep the heart with all diligence, but give us a call if you would like. We need some input. We'd like your input, especially if you've been married a while and you've gone through some issues. You don't have to share those issues necessarily on the air, but get in touch with us at 994-3747, or you can get in touch with us at issuesofliferadio.com.
Yeah, you don't have to lay everything out on the table like Paul.
Yeah,
and I
no.
we do plenty enough of that.
and don't call us up and try to get us to referee something. 20 years ago, this happened. And then,
At that point.
We were talking about this matter of forgiveness before we went off the air, or before we went to break, and I wanted to define that a little bit. You know, something happened to me years ago, and this is before I got married, and by a leader that was close, that I was close to, did something to me that gored me deeply. It was wrong. What he did was wrong. It was, and it hurt me a lot. Now, there was some misunderstanding on both sides. I caused some of it myself, just by not improper communications, or lack of communication, and so. But it hurt me to the point that I had a hard time with this matter of forgiveness. I didn't understand it for a long period of time. And one day I was reading the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, and it says, how does that go in Ephesians chapter 4? I better get to it so I don't misquote it.
It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yeah.
Well, see, that was I read that verse and I thought, well, how did God forgive me? And I came to the realization through meditation and study of that verse that, number one, He forgave me in advance. He literally forgave me before I ever sinned. See, and if you think about Calvary, if you think about the cross and Christ dying for our sins, that He died for me before I ever sinned. So He forgave me before I ever committed a sin. That's where people get messed up with this whole idea, and it enters into marriage, enters into our communications and everything else. Number two, He forgave me unconditionally. He did not place any conditions on forgiving me. Now, there are conditions on me benefiting from that forgiveness, but He placed no conditions on me forgiving me. He forgave me unconditionally. And I kept thinking, well, you know, if this person were to ask my forgiveness, I'd forgive him. Well, that's a real nice, sweet, self-righteous attitude. And so I had to come to the realization that those two things. And when I came to that understanding, full understanding, I called a pastor friend of mine at the time, and I asked him if I was thinking right about this, just to verify, make sure I was on the right track. And he verified that I was, and so... At that time, I lived in the city of New Orleans, and I was going to church. My church was across the river on the west bank. I lived on the east bank. And I was going to church that night, and I got to about the middle of the river, about the middle of the bridge. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if that's true, and I believe it is, then I forgive that person right now. Well, God flooded my soul with a peace, with a joy that I hadn't had in about a year since the incident took place. and I it was settled. Now, I said all that to say this. Before, when I would think about the incident, my emotions would get stirred up. My emotions would get involved, and I could give you just about every detail of the thing, the situation, the words that were said, the actions, everything. I could give you all the details up until that point. But after that, I didn't even think about it anymore. And now, and of course, even after this, that year, about months or year after that, I had a hard time remembering the details. Why? Because my emotions were not attached to the incident anymore. And forgiveness is what detaches the emotions from the incident. Now, I could, if I wanted to think about it enough, I could go back and give you what took place, some of the details, but I probably wouldn't be able to remember all the details. And so, if your emotions are stirred up every time you think about hurtful words or something that was done to you, then you really haven't forgiven. See, and I say that if you've forgiven, you forgot it. You detach your emotions from it so that those, the memories, the detail of the memories of it are not there anymore.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, it's not in Technicolor or 3D. You can't remember every single detail. But there are some X factors that are involved. And what I mean by that is, you know, as most of our listeners, we might have some new ones listening today. But as most of our usual listeners know, I'm in a wheelchair, and there are things that are specific to that, to this wheelchair, that cause me problems. And a lot of times, if she catches me at the right moment while I'm trying to deal with one of those issues, it'll spill over and I'll take it out on her.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, it just happened to us just a couple of days ago. I was dealing with an issue, and she was trying to get the baby to sleep. Well, I'm a loud person anyway. I'm just loud, but I was loud. I wasn't upset at any particular individual. But I was upset at the situation. And she said, "You need to calm down." And I became louder. I said you don't even know the problems it's going to cause me. You don't. This one little thing. You don't have any idea. And she does have an idea, by the way. She lives with me. So sometimes there are things involved. You know, it could be a disability. It could be a certain type of job that you have.
Yes.
It could be a health situation. And, you know, there could be chronic sickness involved, which affects an individual's personality over time. But, you know, with the Lord's help, we can learn to control anything. We can learn to communicate effectively through any obstacle. You know. And I know an individual, and years ago, I'm not going to call the individual's name, but he had a lot of things happen to him, and basically he had a breakdown, and he was married at the time, had 5 kids. He had a breakdown, but he refused to deal with his issues. His wife would ask him, let's go and get counseling and let's deal with these issues.
Yeah.
And he refused to deal with those issues. He acted like it was not. He would become very defensive.
Yeah.
And he became apathetic toward the problem. And see, you can't be left alone to stew in your depression or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Well, ultimately, he lost his marriage over it.
Right.
And after he lost his marriage, he got married again. And as time went on, of course he's passed away now. But as time went on, he lost everything.
Yeah,
he lost everything. Yeah. All because he was not willing to deal with the issues.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, even if there are some X factors involved, and even if there are some things that you weren't expecting that come in, you know, through some sort of psychological or physical issues or chronic sickness or, like I said, whatever the case may be. It is our job to deal with whatever we have to deal with in order to communicate effectively. And in any case, whenever you stop communicating, your marriage is not going to make. Now you may stay married,
right?
You may be married till you die,
right?
But you're not going to have a happy, effective.
Not going to have the marriage that God means for us to have.
Sure.
And I think that's that you're really on hitting on a nail on the head on those things, and in that if God requires, if God's standard for marriage is one man, one woman for life, mm-hmm. and I think we can agree on that, right? It's God's standard for marriage is one man, unless one spouse dies, for life. And so if one of the other leaves by death, then you're free to marry again. But that's the only freedom, you know. And I know we could talk about fornication, that type of thing, but God means for us to stay married. And that being the case, then there's nothing that comes into that marriage that we can't overcome, especially, and the crazy thing about it is, marriage does dissolve over the simplest things. And what you just said about this individual not dealing with his issue.
You cannot ignore issues.
You
and be
cannot
okay.
ignore anything, you know. And, you know, I used to have an improper attitude toward depression. You know, I thought, man, just deal with it.
Yeah.
But by the same token, that is true. Just deal with it. But you have to, maybe to say it this way, you can't just deal with it, but you have to deal with it. You see what I understand the difference I'm making here?
Seek mm-hmm. out help if you need help. Seek out counseling.
If you need help, go for it. But by the same token, you have to understand. I've begun since I hit my 60s, of age, I've begun to realize that it is real. It does happen. It's happened to me. And the way I have to understand, number one, and admit that it's a real problem. That it's not something that's off in a never-never land or some weak people have. It's not that way. Anybody can have it. And so, but I have to deal with it. I can't ignore it, number one. I have to, if I need help, I need help. But I haven't hadn't gotten to the place where I need help. I just keep myself in a mindset that this is happening to me. It is physical. There is some physical causes
physical things can affect the mind.
It's affecting my mind, and so I have to do what I have to do. If it means to go take a walk, you know, if it means to get some exercise, or if it means to change my eating habits a little bit, or whatever I need to do, I need to deal with that particular issue and not let it affect other areas of my life.
And see, what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency, number one, to ignore things, and we have a tendency to keep it a secret.
Yes.
Don't keep. And by the way, you don't need to blab everything to everybody.
Correct.
You know, but
especially with your spouse. Yeah. Let me interrupt and say, these types of things, especially in the areas if you're feeling, you know, battling with depression, you definitely don't want to keep those things from your spouse.
Yeah.
No. You want to communicate those issues for sure.
Right, and they need to know it. I mean, lay all your cards on the table.
Yeah.
And life becomes so much easier.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Get in contact with us, 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com.
Insurance Agency is a proud sponsor of WTGF Truth Radio 90.5. They're located at 6630 Caroline Street in Milton, and their phone number is 623-3601. Supplying a peace of mind for your home, auto, recreational vehicles, and commercial insurance, along with life and health insurance, they are there for your needs. Help Culpepper Insurance support your Christian radio station. Thank them for making WTGF 90.5 possible in your community.
Have you been to our thrift stores lately? Helping Hand Missions operates three stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace, across from Target. 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399. And our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street, across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
La Hacienda is a local family restaurant that serves the food you love. Since 1996, La Hacienda has been serving authentic Mexican food in this community. You can come and enjoy their great food at these three locations, 6471 401 Highway 90 in Milton, 4601 Highway 90 in Pace, and 8086 North Davis Highway in Pensacola. La Hacienda is a proud partner with Truth Radio WTGF 90.5, the beacon of truth for your community. Todos son bienvenidos. Everyone is welcome.
Welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show. Get in contact with us, 850-994-3747 or issuesofliferadio.com. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
How are you doing today?
Well, doing good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I try to listen to y'all every day, and I love some of the stuff that y'all bring up. You know, you're talking about the physical aspects of how your physical can affect your mental in your communication and marriage. And my wife and I, we've been married for almost 30 years. Well, actually, over 30 years. And, you know, being in tune with one another, first off, you got to be in tune with God in your marriage as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, we're in tune with each other enough to where we know, my wife can tell you before I can tell you that I'm sick or when I'm hurting, she knows.
Yeah.
Just by my physical being.
Yeah.
But communicating it sometimes, it especially when it comes to the depression part of it, depression can damage a marriage so much that sometimes it's almost in you can't recuperate from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest communication issue we have sometimes is when we get buried in our work.
Yeah.
And we forget to communicate.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And depression, when depression, especially depending on your job, you know, and how much pressure a person faces on their job, and then too, you get it, if you get into that where both parties work, and there's a lot of, in our, even our society, pressures enter into these things and make things somewhat more complicated than what they would normally be.
Now, do you have children?
Oh yeah, we have two children. One of them is 28. Well, actually, she'd be 29 this year, and my son, he's 17. And so yeah, and there again, grandchildren come back into the mix too.
Yeah.
With your marriage and communication, and sometimes, well, we have our granddaughter with us almost every Saturday. But
that's awesome.
Sometimes I say to myself, you know, tell my wife, dear, we need time on a Saturday for just us to communicate and us to do things and to be able to reconnect after a week of work.
Yeah,
right.
And the stress of our jobs that we have, to just let the stress go and be with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every marriage needs that. I think that's a good point, an excellent point, that you need time. Every couple needs time to connect. And you know, we use a lot of reasons not to, jobs or children, but the children and our jobs benefit by our having a harmonious relationship with each other.
Tremendously it benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there again, it's the same thing when you're raising your children in the marriage and you're raising your children. If mom and dad aren't communicating to one another, they're not going to be able to communicate to their children.
Exactly.
That's right.
What I've been, yeah, that is huge.
Yeah.
You know.
And being on the same page, that's
another
big
thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and see, I contend that you can't be on the same page without communication. You know,
no,
without proper communication and without clear understanding of whatever the issues are that you're dealing with.
And it's proven. I mean, anyone who's had a successful marriage, anyone. I mean, I can take my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. They've been married for 40 some odd years. They've been married 50, over
wow.
50 years. My mother and father, they were married for, well, they died younger than what it should. They were married for 40 some odd years before my mother passed. But communication, they had to communicate to one another, especially as many kids in our family. There was 9 of us. So you know that they had to communicate a lot.
I thought 2 was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you decide to have a baseball team, you have to communicate.
Man, that'd be a good little singing family.
Yeah. Yeah. And
communication is important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Well, when it comes to children, whatever you're going through, your children know about it before you think they do. they pick up on it before you think they do. You know,
and they suffer from it because they know. And when your children suffer, it makes you suffer. But you know, and you talk about that. I was in the same job for almost 11 years, and then boom, it was gone. I mean, it was just gone.
Yeah.
You go to work one morning, and they say, you're done, we're no longer in business, and you try to keep it from your children, but your children pick up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Simply by their communication skills they've learned from you, and how to interpret and how to read.
Right.
People don't give kids enough credit sometimes.
No, I'll tell you, I guarantee you that now. People don't give kids enough credit. You know what? I had an incident take place with me years ago that I had a family working with me in the ministry in New Orleans, and we weren't getting along too well. You know, we were at odds with each other. And I picked up on it that they were talking about it at home from their boy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their boy, we have a way of covering things up. You know, we can cover up when we have a nasty attitude or we don't like somebody. You know, we smile and we, you know, we have a way of covering things. But children don't have that, you know, for the most part.
No, they don't.
And so that's the way I picked up on that he was at odds with me was as his child, his son. So they get involved, you know, and so. That's all the more reason for open, proper, clear communications in the home.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And being in the ministry, which I'm also in the ministry as well. I'm in the music ministry. I see so many different people, and they're learning as being in the ministry. You learn the same way. You learn who's communicating and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we've concluded that you can't overemphasize communications, the need for them, and the fact of the necessity to have proper communications in the home.
100%. Yeah. I agree.
We sure do appreciate
y'all's program is great, and I love listening to y'all.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate your call today. You keep listening, and call back again.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And also, one thing we hadn't really talked about too much is, you know, because you were single for a long time. I mean,
long
you didn't get married until you were, what, 40?
40. I got 50. Married at the age of 40, right.
And so when you, I mean, and that's a big... It's a big life change.
That's huge.
You know, at 40, the concrete's already set. You know?
The foundation has been
built.
Well,
it's kind of like, you know, somebody.
So she had to take a jackhammer.
Well, I'll show you how that's illustrated. One of the ladies here at Faith Baptist, when we would travel through as missionaries, we came here, one of the ladies said to my wife one time, she said, well, I'm glad you married him. He had some rough edges and needed knocking off. I said, yeah, but she takes it clean to the bone.
but also, whenever you have children, it's going to change again.
Because
the maternal aspect of a normal, well-adjusted woman, because there's women now that's not maternal,
right?
You know? But the maternal aspect of woman, she's going to say, well, I'm going to take care of the kids. And see, my first responsibility is not to love my children.
Right.
It's to love your wife. To love my wife.
That's right.
You know.
I think we've got a caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Miss King.
Hello, Miss King.
How are you?
Wonderful. How are you today?
Okay. I just wanted to say something about the forgiveness that you were talking about to start with. People that have been hurt deeply or some tragic thing has happened to their life, they find it hard to forgive others, and they blame themselves and even blame God. And until they get to where they can realize that the Lord had allowed that in their life for a special reason, then they cannot forgive. And when they do forgive, then it makes things right. But I found that in mental institutions, a great percentage of people are there because they cannot forgive somebody else or can't forgive themselves for some tragic thing.
Yeah. Well, of course, the key to forgiveness is understanding the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary for us. I think that's the basis of all aspects of forgiveness. You know, I don't want to try to oversimplify it, but I know that that's the starting place for forgiving others, is understanding how we've been forgiven by Him.
Well, most people don't know that truth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. But and really, you can't, I don't know how you can genuinely exercise forgiveness. I'm sure that it can happen, but apart from understanding what Calvary, because that's the epitome of forgiveness.
And talking about couples that have been married a long time, we were married over 45 years when my husband died, and most of our life we farmed, and he worked for the Forest Service, and so we were together all the time, and we communicated not only by just talking, we just worked together.
Yeah.
And so we taught the children to do the same.
Yeah, my wife and I have worked together all of the days of our marriage because we've been in the ministry together, and so we've basically been together all that. So, well, Miss King, we sure do appreciate you calling and giving us your experience. Now, your husband's been gone for how many years now? He went to heaven?
Over 17.
So you were married 45, and he's died for 17 years ago?
Well, we were married over 45. He died January 21st, 1998.
Yeah, so.
And we were married 45 years in November 28th, 1997.
Well, that's thank you so much for your comments today. We always appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thank you.
We're gonna get ready to wrap up here. We got a few more minutes left. You got any final comments you'd like to make,
well,
Paul?
You know, the Bible says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7, where it says that if you're gonna get married, you got to care about the things of your wife. You got to care about,
right?
You know, and so. So, and you were in the ministry. I mean, and you right. you would just jump on a plane and go.
Exactly.
We've
only got a couple of minutes left, but let me sum up this. Because I think I know where you're trying to get with this. The biggest problem we had in the first 2 years of our marriage was that very thing. She had been married since she was 17 to her first husband. He passed away, and of course we got married a year or two later, and then. But I had been single all of my life, and it's what you just said. I was used to going and blowing, you know. I didn't stop. I just was always going. Well, when we got married, that continued. I didn't slow down. Well, that didn't set too well with her.
And you, and these real spiritual people want to say, well, you still got to serve God.
Yeah.
Well, you can obviously you got to serve God.
Right.
But your priority is to look after your wife. And we could get into maybe next week dwelling with your wife with all knowledge
And I think probably we'll start here next week. And you know,
it's a very important topic.
Yeah,
because
I've got a lot of things I'd like to bring out about that, and how that. It was my fault that we had so many problems in those early days because the point was she didn't feel like I was considering her, and in truth, I wasn't because I thought she just needed to step in line and serve God. You know, we're serving God.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a lot of injustice being committed in the name of serving God.
And
it's
not biblical. It's
no, absolutely
unbiblical,
and it's not even close to being spiritual. So you know, we need to consider some of those things, and perhaps we'll do that next week. We sure appreciate you joining us today. God bless you. You join us again next week.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Lord willing, we will be with you again next week.
The views and beliefs in the previous program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.